You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Now we're looking forward to talking about Chuck Anderson's favorite team.
I thought, wait, we're talking about the Brewers? What?
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
No, Chuck has a thing with Billy Bean.
He has a thing with Billy Bean. I don't know if he has a thing with the A's.
I think they're just intertwined.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Every time we bring up the A's, we sort of just go, oh, by the way, Chuck, how do you feel about Billy Bean? And then we let him rant for 10 minutes.
Well, to be fair, Chuck can rant about a lot of different things. So
we are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Ben Brenz. I'm joined by Darius Austin. Darius, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's been a lovely day here in North Wales and a nice day out in the mountains. And now we're looking forward to talking about Chuck Anderson's favorite team.
I thought, wait, we're talking about the Brewers? What?
No, Chuck has a thing with Billy Bean.
He has a thing with Billy Bean. I don't know if he has a thing with the A's.
I think they're just intertwined. Every time we bring up the A's, we sort of just go, oh, by the way, Chuck, how do you feel about Billy Bean? And then we let him rant for 10 minutes.
Well, to be fair, Chuck can rant about a lot of different things. So
that's what makes him so great. It's
a good ability for us to have on this podcast, because otherwise, where's the entertainment?
Yeah, all I've really got is the accent to go on. So we do need Chuck to have a good rant every now and again.
Exactly. Why don't you let our listeners know where you can be reached before we get started?
Yep, so you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I'm writing for, I think, 5 different places at the moment, so I won't bother going through and listing all of them now, but you can find them on my Twitter bio as well, so if you want to check out any of my work, all the links are there.
And I am at BBrandsFWFB. Darius, when are you going to switch over to the FWFB in your Twitter handle?
I don't know. I've never actually changed it. I guess what I see all the time is like people just sort of moving around sites and swapping it. And I guess I would probably have to have about 12 different letters after my name if I wanted to include all the sites I'm on.
Exactly. To be fair, that does make it tough. So I guess being neutral is definitely the best way to go.
Yeah. So I've just stuck with my original one. I thought that's probably safer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Why don't we just jump right on into the A's? You know, there are some bright spots on this offense. Not a lot, but there are some. Why don't we start off with Stephen Vogt, who will be probably playing a little bit of catcher, first base, and DH this year, but he's going to be their main catcher. Last year, he had a decent season, 54 runs, 56 RBIs, 14 home runs, and a .251 batting average. It's not great, but it's also not terrible. What's your thoughts on Stephen Vogt going forward for this year?
Yeah, I think he's fine. He's kind of a guy that I'm maybe looking at if I'm just going to wait until the end of the catches and see who's still on the board. Then he's maybe one of those guys that I'd be looking to pick up. I think one nice thing about him is because of the way the A's like to manipulate that lineup and slot guys in at different positions, he might get a few more plate appearances than some other catchers just because they will maybe stick him in at DH sometimes or even first base. So I think that's a nice little boost for his value that you might not get elsewhere. But other than that, I think he's sort of mid-teens power, okay average, nothing exciting, but dependable.
Yeah, there's not a lot of catchers that you can really say are dependable. He had a decent season 2 years ago, not as great as that season last year, but he's still, like you said, he's dependable. He's good in two catcher formats as a number two catcher. He finished 12th on the player radar last year. I do think that he'll be able to provide you about like 14 or so home runs again. He's still probably going to have like around 60 RBIs and about 50 or so runs. It would be nice if he could get up to a 270 batting average, but you know, I can't kill him for hitting 250, especially because that's kind of what I do expect him to have. I'm just attempting to be optimistic here. When he's not playing, do you think that the backup catcher spot is going to be Bruce Maxwell, or do you think that it's most likely going to be Josh Flagley?
From what I can see so far, that Maxwell seems to be the guy who's being leaned towards in the projections. I don't think there's anything particularly exciting about Flagley. It's not like he's a young guy and they don't know what you have in him. I don't think he's a particularly good framer either, and I think Maxwell has graded out okay on that front. So I think from an actual catching perspective, he might be more likely to get the time. But I don't see too much for fantasy there.
Yeah, I do think that he did grade relatively well in terms of how he is at pitch framing. I do believe he has some power too, if I'm correct. I may be incorrect. Do you recall if he came up to a system with some decent power enough to give you
I think he did do runs? Okay. Let me grab up his... Yeah,
I believe he's got double-digit power, that if Vogt did move and play first base a little bit more, that Maxwell would still be able to... Based on last year, through almost 100 at-bats, he had a .283 batting average, which is pretty good. You know, you expect it to fall as the season goes on, but if he was able to hit .270 and get double-digit home runs and about 300 at-bats or so, that's still useful in two catcher leagues as well. So that's someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he hit 10 home runs in just 60 games at AAA last year. Mm-hmm. And he's been pretty good at taking a walk throughout his minor league career as well. So maybe if you're in a two catcher OBP league, somebody to keep an eye on if he finds his way into a bit more playing time.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we move over to first base? And it used to be Yonder Alonso, but we no longer have to worry about him because it looks like Ron Healy is going to be moving over to first base this year and potentially playing some DH. So why don't you talk a little bit about him, because I know you're a big fan of his.
I am. Chuck and I have started the Ryan Healy fan club. I think there are a few. I know Paul Sporer and Eno Saris over at Fangraphs are getting all excited about him as well. But I really like what he showed last season. He hit 13 home runs and 20 doubles in just a half season. That was good for a .524 slugging percentage. He did okay in terms of the strikeouts. It wasn't stellar or anything, but it was 21%, which is fine for, I think, for a rookie, his first time in the majors. And his barrels, so this is a StatCast metric, which looks at balls hit at a certain angle at a certain speed. I think it's over 95 miles per hour, sort of a 23-degree launch angle, something like that. Basically, he had 19 of those in that half season, which is putting him kind of right around Robinson Cano, Carlos Gonzalez, Manny Machado, similar kind of rate to these guys. So there's some pretty good company there. And one thing got me really excited towards the end of the season, he hit just a monster 480-foot bomb in Oakland as well. So I think he has got the kind of power that will play there, even though it's a terrible park for home runs. So I'm not really pleased about the Plouf signing kind of cutting into his time at third, but from what the A's are saying, it sounds like they're just going to get Healy the bats at first and DH instead. So I think he'll be okay for playing time, and I'm pretty much looking forward to him having his first major league season.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have a pretty good season. I think he's going to give you some good value, and it will be nice because last year, I wasn't sure who was going to be their third baseman that was coming up. I almost thought it could have been Matt Chapman. But then Healy started having such a good season, and he came up, and he produced just so well for the 269 at-bats that he was up. And I would really like to see what he's able to do with the full season. It seems like it's like you said, he's got a lot of power. He's going to be able to have it play in this park, which is nice. So we'll have to see exactly how valuable he could be. Why don't we move over to shortstop, and that's going to be Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien has had another good power season, but the average is still below 250. Still does give you double-digit steals. Last year in the 568 at-bats, 27 home runs, 72 RBIs, or 75 RBIs, 72 runs, 10 stolen bases. What are you expecting from Marcus Semien this year? Are you expecting a similar stat line, or do you expect him to drop off a little bit in the power?
He does hit a lot of fly balls, so while I'm not necessarily projecting 27, I think he is a guy who I can confidently expect more than 20 out of, which once upon a time would have been quite good at shortstop, and now I'm not sure that it is, which is one reason that even though last year kind of looks good on the surface, if you actually look at where he finished, I think he was like the 14th shortstop on the player rater, which, you know, a couple of years ago, that kind of line would have put him maybe close to the top five. So I think the power surge did hurt in that department. I think he got a little bit unlucky on the BABIP. I don't think he's going to hit 238 again. I'm kind of expecting more up in the 250, 260 range because I think he got particularly unlucky on his line drives. I do think he would benefit from learning to go the other way a little bit as well because I think he got shifted relatively effectively. If he could just show the ability to go to the opposite field a bit more often with a decent bit of power on those hits, then I think he would be able to get his batting average up a bit more. But overall, I quite like Semien as sort of a later shortstop or middle infield pick, and I think he's going to chip in a little bit of everything for you.
Yeah, I do believe that he's going to be able to chip in a little bit of everything as well. It would be nice to see him get that average up. It's like you said, he just has to get more lucky with his BABIP. So I do think that that average could come up this year, and it could bump him to close to top, if between top 12 and top 15 shortstop ability, probably, just because he does have the show of good power and he does have the capability of stealing. So it would be nice to see how the improvements can be made for him. Why don't we move over to third base, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Trevor Plouffe. I realize that we skipped second.
Yeah, so, I wasn't sure if you were just ranking that last.
You know what? I kind of am. To be fair, I just kind of forgot because it's Jedrell Howery, and he hasn't really done much in the last couple of seasons. We could just talk about him real quick. I'm sure it's going to be between him and Joey Wendell for this upcoming season. I'm sure when Lowry gets hurt, Wendell's going to play. But between them, they're probably going to be like a 260 to 275 average. Not much in terms of power, probably less than 10 total home runs. Not a ton of speed, but I do think that Wendell has the ability to at least do a decent job if he gets a full-time gig. Do you have any hope that Lowry can provide you any decent stats, or are you just hoping he gets hurt so you can pick up Wendell?
I've always liked Lowry. I think he's the kind of guy who's been, you know, oh, if he can just stay on the field for a whole season, he'd be really good, and then he hardly ever seems to. And then I think last year, even though he was on the field for not a full season but a decent amount of playing time, when he was there, he was just too hurt to do anything. He had a problem with his foot, had surgery to remove a bunion and fix a ligament late in the season, and I think that completely sapped all of his power. So I don't have any confidence that he'll play. I think you can maybe expect double-digit home runs if he stays on the field long enough for that. But I'm kind of interested in Wendell. I see some interesting power speed numbers here. I think he could provide a pretty interesting value, not too dissimilar from Semien maybe, but with a bit more speed and a bit less power. So I wouldn't mind just seeing him get a decent run in the team to see what's there and get an idea of where he's going to fit in. At the moment, it's one of those situations where I just don't see either player getting enough playing time for me to warrant drafting them.
Yeah, I guess in a really deep league, you have to hope that one of them just gets a lot more playing time, but neither of them are going to be anything fantastic this year. But it would be nice to see them be able to move on from Lowry and see how Joey does in a full season. Why don't we move back to third base, and that's going to be talking about Trevor Plouffe. Trevor Plouffe had an injury-ridden season last year for Minnesota, but he still put up 47 RBIs, 12 home runs, 260 average. What can you expect in Oakland this year if you got a full season of at-bats?
I think he definitely suffered from the injuries. I think he was on the DL at least twice. He had oblique and intercostal strains. He cracked a rib. So all of that core area was really hampered. And so I think that probably hurt him a bit in the power department as well. But overall, he's been a pretty consistent player. He's a 250 hitter who doesn't walk that much. But I think you can confidently expect somewhere in the 15 to 20 home run range with a little bit of ding for the park change. But I think overall, Plouffe is one of those late corner infield options. It looks like they want to give him the most time at third base. Although I have noticed that he's got pretty extreme platoon splits between lefties and righties. And one thing the A's really do like to do is platoon. So I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to display those tendencies if they do some more lineup shuffling and find somebody else in there on days when they're facing righties.
Yeah, it would. For me, I don't know if I want him as a corner infielder just because I just think he sucks. Like, there's no nice way for me to say it. I didn't think he was anything great for the last couple years. And the fact that he was playing over Miguel Sano at third base and stuff, and he wasn't very good, it's just like, you know, it makes me think, like, how bad Snow really can be there. And it's just, like, if they didn't have anyone else to trot out, like, damn, Plouffe is, like, Plouffe's just nothing special. Like, he'll give you decent stats, but I think I could find a better corner infielder than Trevor Plouffe. I do think that, at least in this offense, like, he's one of the better players, so he could have better counting numbers as a result. But I don't know. It's nothing fantastic, and it's not like I'm looking forward to trying to grab him. It's not like he's one of my late-round picks, and I'm like, oh, I got to have him. So, for me, I would rather just move on.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a deep league option for sure, where you're just hoping for somebody to give you a little bit of power late in the draft.
How deep of league are you looking at him? 16-team and deeper, or...?
Yeah, I think I'm talking like 16 at a corner, or, you know, just your bench backup option for the corner, maybe.
Yeah, I gotta depend on him as a corner infielder in one league, and it's so depressing. So bad. Why don't we move into the outfield where we have the Davi. Is that the plural for Davis? The Davis eye?
I assume so. I don't know if this is a question anyone's ever had to answer before, but Davi seems like it's easier than saying than Davis's.
The Davises. Basically, we have Chris Davis, Rajay Davis, and then we're going to have a platoon probably of Jake Smolinski and Matt Joyce, which is nothing fantastic. Why don't we just focus on the two Davises, the Davi, who we'll actually be looking to draft. Rajay Davis just signed recently. He's got 40 stolen base speed. In those legs, do you think he's going to get the 40 stolen bases again this year?
I think that would be aggressive to project. I know he led the league in them last year, and speed has always been his calling card. But he's getting on towards his late 30s now. So I wouldn't project him for that. I think maybe expect kind of more like 30, and then if you do get more than that, then that will be gravy. But I think he's one of these guys. He always sort of seems to end up pretty decently on the player raters or whatever the site you're playing on is using, just because he does always end up getting the steals. And last year he actually chipped in 12 home runs as well. I think he started pulling the ball a lot more. I don't know whether I expect that to happen in Oakland, where it's going to be a lot harder for him to get the ball out of the park in the first place. But I think he's the kind of guy who, especially in this environment where we haven't got much speed, he'll probably still come at a reasonable cost. And I think you can depend on him getting kind of at least in that 30 steal range.
Yeah, for me, I do think he's going to get into 30 steal range. It would be nice if he could hit 260, but I do know that Oakland doesn't really like to run a lot. Just they haven't really had a lot of players that go for steals. I do recall, I think I heard it on the Fantasy Focus podcast, that Oakland has like the second least amount of stolen bases in the last decade or something to the Cubs. So you know they're not really a big running team. They haven't really had players there that can run anyway, but I don't know if Davis is going to get the 40 because of that. Now, what do you think is more likely? Chris Davis gets the 40 home runs or that Rajay Davis gets the 40 steals?
Wow. I think that the tools are similarly dependable, but I would probably predict the steals for Rajay just because I think that's a slightly easier mark to hit than the home runs. But that's not to say that Chris Davis doesn't have the power to do it.
This is a tough question. It's almost like I didn't expect myself to have to answer it.
You've surprised yourself by asking such a tough question.
Yeah, it's Jesus. I think I'd have to assume that Chris Davis probably does, because we've always known that he has a ton of power, and they're going to look for him to have the power, just because it's like he's their best power hitter. Last year he took a while to adjust to the league, and then he just kind of killed it in the second half. You know, he had 100 RBI, so, you know, he's going to be a decent season. Where do you have him ranked in terms of overall outfielders this year, Darius?
I'm trying to remember now. I think I have him kind of...
See, top 30, top 20, top 40?
I think he's kind of towards that maybe early 20s for me. I'm trying to...
I'm looking it up, but for me, I think that he's going to still be able to provide you some very good value, just because, you know, he's going to be their best hitter as long as he stays healthy. This offense got slightly better with getting Trevor Puth, and Healy will be up for a full season. You still have Vogt. Davis is here, so now there's another player that can get on base. I do think that he could have a very similar season as a result of that. So it would be nice to see exactly what he's able to do in another full season in Oakland. You had him ranked as your 24th outfielder.
Yeah, I think I might
have. I had him just slightly ahead at 22.
Chuck's yeah, I think crazy. I might have flip-flopped Billy Hamilton ahead of him now as well. So
Chuck's a little crazy. He has him at 13.
Chuck's always the guy who I'm like, who is this? He's got this guy ranked in a crazy position, and it's almost always Chuck.
I'm pretty sure that he had Donaldson last year, like 20th overall or something.
Yeah, so, he was white like.
Now, to be fair, Donaldson finished around 20th overall, but it's still hard to believe that you rank him at 20th overall.
Yeah, I remember I did that article asking people about the rankings they were most different on, and I think Donaldson was the first guy I asked Chuck about. And I think he just said he didn't like ranking guys coming off career years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That was Oakland's last good player.
And they got almost nothing back.
Yeah, basically. Why don't we move over to the pitching side of things? And this rotation has some decent arms. It's going to be led by Sonny Gray. It's got Sean Manaea, Jarrell Cotton, Kendall Graveman, and most likely is going to have Andrew Triggs as the number 5 starter. I suppose you could potentially get some starts out of Henderson Alvarez this year if he's able to stay healthy, Daniel Megden, and Raul Alcantara as some potential spot starts. But where do you think you get the most value out of this rotation? And is there anyone that you're actually looking to get in standard league, or is everyone kind of more of a streamer option?
I think both Gray and Manaea are guys that I'll be looking to target in later rounds of a standard league. I think everything went wrong for Gray for years. It seemed like he was just sort of a bit Matt Cain-esque, outperforming his peripherals. And then I think everything went backwards last year. Not only was he hurt, but he also got unlucky with his BABIP and his strand rate and his home run rate. And so I think everything kind of combined in a perfect disaster for him. And I just don't think it can be as bad again. It's very difficult to tell whether there was actually a decline in ability, because I think the injuries bothered him for almost the whole year. And they were things, I think he had a trapezius strain, and then he had forearm problems as well. So I just think a guy who finished as highly as he did the previous couple of years and where he's going now, I think he's outside the top 15 starters. I'm willing to take a shot on him. And Manaea, I think, is pretty interesting. He's a big guy. He's got a bit of a weird delivery. But I think he's got a nice pitch mix. And I'm pretty interested to see what he can do with the full season, because he had some really good starts late in the year. And I think if he can sort of figure out how to pitch to righties, then we're looking at a pretty useful fantasy pitcher here.
No one has as strange of a windup as Daniel Megden, though. So, but I guess that's the A's calling card right now. I do like Manaea. It would be nice if he was able to get more strikeouts, but I do think that he's at least a decent pitcher overall. He'll give you decent ratios. He's still going to get strikeouts. The Oakland A's aren't going to be very good, so wins are going to be tough to come by, but in quality start league, he's going to do well. Sonny Gray, I do think that he'll be able to bounce back. I do think that the injuries did hurt him last year. I don't think of him as a 5-plus ERA guy or a 1.5 whip guy. The K's were still relatively close to being there, considering that he did have an injury-ridden season. So it would be nice to see him bounce back. Not sure if I'm looking to really buy on him, but he's someone that I'll at least keep an eye on if someone else owns him and try to trade for him the second I think he's going to be busting out of any potential bad slumps if he does start the season in one. Jarrell Collins, another player who I really like because he showed a lot of promise last year in the 29 innings that he pitched. You know, a 2.15 ERA and 0.82 whip. Those aren't sustainable, but I do think that he's going to be able to do a good job. He was touted as a decent prospect, a decent to good prospect when he was with the Dodgers, and I do think that he'll be able to provide some good value this year if he gets a full season of starts. It would be nice to see how Andrew Triggs does as well. Andrew Triggs is real, real, real deep league value. Last year, he had 55 Ks in 56 innings, so I do like that he's able to show that. He didn't start a ton of games. He started more of the back the last couple of starts of the season. But in those games, he did pitch pretty well up until he got hurt. So it'll be nice to see what he's able to do if they do make him the fifth starter. As for the bullpen, what are you expecting from this bullpen? Do you think it's going to be Ryan Madsen who's going to close, or do you think that someone else could end up coming in and getting some saves?
Well, I think the sort of most likely outcome is just to give it back to Madsen because he did sort of have the job for most of the year last year. But when you look at this bullpen, they've actually got four guys who've closed for a decent amounts of time in Madsen, Sean Doolittle, John Axford, and now Santiago Casilla, who they've just signed. And I think the guy who actually had the best numbers as a pitcher for them last year was actually Ryan Dull, who doesn't have any experience with the closing role, really. But I think he's probably got the most upside, and he's also the youngest of the five. So I tend to not like the A's closing situation. I think over the last few years, Bob Melvin has made this one of these nightmares where you never really know who's going to get it. And he's quite happy, I think, to not designate a guy as well. So I think if I was looking for somebody to get it, it would be either Dull or Doolittle. But I think we're probably looking at Madsen to start the year.
Yeah, he does seem to like to play the matchups game when it comes to his closer. Last year he did use Madsen a lot, but Madsen's not a big strikeout guy, so that does work against him. And the fact that he gave up a lot of hits last year also works against him because he had a 1.28 whip, which is pretty high for a closer. So we'll just have to see what they're able to gain from this bullpen. I do think that Madsen will start the season, but I think Ryan Dull is definitely the best option going forward. I'd keep an eye on him, and we'll see how spring training goes. Darius, is there any other players that you want to talk about on the Oakland Athletics?
I think we've covered all the bases. I would like to tell people to actually watch a few of Andrew Trigg's highlights because he's a really unusual guy. Pitches very sidearm. He's only just kind of gone into starting. I think he had one start in the minors and everything else in relief. So I've seen a few Justin Masterson comps put on him because of that arm angle. And I know that might strike fear into the hearts of some people, but Masterson did have some useful fantasy seasons a few years back. And I know hitters were really struggling to pick it up. He had 22 strikeouts and one walk in the course of those six starts he made, I think. So I'm pretty interested in Triggs, and he's not going to cost you anything to pick up. So, yeah, I definitely check him out because I think he could be a really interesting guy.
Yeah, I was talking him up before, and then even before the podcast, I was happy to hear that he was going to be the fifth starter. A player that I would like to keep my eye on this year is a player that just also signed with them is Nory Ruiz. He signed from Cuba. He's 22 years old, but he was one of the top Cuban pitching prospects on the market, and he signed very recently. It said that he could come up potentially this season if he shakes off the rust or even next season, so he's going to be a player to keep an eye on. In dynasty leagues, and he's definitely a player to keep an eye on if you're in a deeper league and he may show signs of coming up at the middle to back half of the season. So I do think that they have some pitching prospects, or not pitching prospects, pitchers that are valuable and can give you some deep league value, more so than a regular standard, but they do still have enough pitching over here to make the team a little better, and I do see improvements coming from them. Do you think that they're the worst team in the MLB this year?
No, I don't think they will be. I think they'll probably find their way into being slightly mediocre. I think there are some decent options here, and I was actually surprised to see how much interested I was in the rotation. So there's certainly the potential for it to fall apart, but I don't think they'll be quite as bad as some of the teams like maybe the Twins. I think they'll probably be just okay this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they'll have some improvements, especially if these pitchers are able to stay healthy, and we'll just have to see how it goes. Darius, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you've been working on?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. My current project that I'm working on is for my new gig at BP Wrigleyville. I'm taking a look back at the 2007 Baseball Prospectus Annual, and kind of having a look at some of the more interesting comments from the players there and how those players have gone. That was a team which, in fact, featured Rich Hill, who was obviously a member of the A's last year and we were chatting about earlier. So I think it's pretty interesting to look over the last 10 years of Hill's career and see how he got on. So, yeah, watch out for that.
And I can be reached at bbrancefwfb. I am currently our host. I say that as if I'm going to get like let go or something, but I'm the host. I'm the host of our Friends of Fantasy Benefits basketball podcast. I am also going to be the host of our Tuesday baseball show with Chuck Anderson and Evan Peterson. So look for both of those. Give us a 5-star rate and review, and if you take a screenshot of it, you'll be able to and send it to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Twitter page. We'll look to put you into at one of our listener leagues, and potentially you would be able to win some cool gear. I think we're giving away hats and potentially some t-shirts. And for the rest of us at Friends of Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball season.